Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
6:45 on a Tuesday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Well, we're into January, and how have your New Year's resolutions been going? Specifically that one that involves losing some weight and getting back in shape. If things aren't going as planned, maybe it's time to try a new strategy. To talk about what kinds of weight loss strategies actually work, I'm joined by former White House senior analyst Dr. Jeff Schweitzer. He's the co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining me. So let me get an initial sense of how quickly can you see results if you pursue a proper diet? How quickly should you start seeing a weight loss occur?
Immediately, but not dramatically. The mistake that people make is they want to see a big result too quickly. And what's more important is sustainability and changing your ways, changing your behaviors in a way that you can sustain it over the rest of your life. So a big mistake really is trying to do too much too quickly.
You know, I've heard these theories that, you know, if you starve yourself or you don't eat enough, your body goes into the starvation mode and refuses to lose calories. I mean, is that what it comes down to when people aggressively stop eating? The body just becomes stubborn and won't lose the weight?
No, I mean, that's a myth, actually. What people call starvation diet is not starvation from a biological perspective. People often define it as 1,200 calories or less, but if you consume 1,000 to 1,200 calories, you're not starving by any means. You can sustain life easily, indefinitely on those calories. What happens, though, is when people try to starve themselves is they don't develop good habits, and therefore they can't sustain it over time. That's the real problem.
Okay, so when we talk about food, the word relationship comes up, and I guess that means that some food relationships might be abusive, and, you know, it's never good to be abusive to food. So what does a healthy relationship with food look like?
Food in a healthy relationship is a source of nutrition. It's not a source of solace. You don't eat it when you're sad. You don't eat when you're happy. You don't eat it in social occasions when you're not hungry, but that doesn't mean that you don't enjoy those social occasions. So it really is developing a relationship with food where food is meant to provide you with nutrients, the nutrients that you need to survive. And that's not to say that you can't really, really enjoy food, but it has to be in a way that is modified by the need for food rather than the want for it in other circumstances not related to nutrition.
You say the type of food you eat doesn't matter when it comes to losing weight. Are you saying that it's all about quantity?
It's calories in, calories out. A calorie is a unit of energy, a measure of unit of energy, and it doesn't matter where that comes from. In terms of weight loss alone, I'm not talking about health now. So if I eat 1,200 calories of fudge every day, I will lose weight. If I eat 1,200 calories of broccoli every day, I would lose weight at exactly the same rate. I wouldn't be healthy if I ate just the chocolate because I'm not getting the nutrients I need. I'm not getting the fiber and the minerals and the carbohydrates and the proteins that I need. But in terms of weight loss alone, it's just calories in and calories out. Nothing else matters. That's a fact of biology and thermodynamics. It's just the way it is.
If we're talking about nutrition, isn't most of our food completely lacking of any real nutrition? And don't we really need vitamin supplements and other things to actually have the nutritional values we require?
No, if you ate a reasonably healthy diet, supplements are not necessary, and it's not difficult, and it's not expensive, and it's not complicated to eat a nice, healthy diet. I mean, and that's just a balance of the things you need. If you just had a little bit of chicken, a little bit of vegetable, a little bit of rice, a little bit of fruit, some nuts, you're there. That's all you need to do. If you just eat fast foods, which are very high in salt and fats, then yes, you're not going to get the nutrients you need. But there's plenty of really healthy, very tasty foods out there that will give you exactly what you need.
I'm talking to former White House senior analyst Dr. Jeff Schweitzer. He's the co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction. So how much calories should an adult consume every day to maintain a stable, healthy weight?
An average active male of normal activity, not a marathon runner, about 2,000 calories a day. maybe 2,500. It also depends, of course, on many, many factors. But between and a woman of normal size and weight and exercise, about 1,500 to 2,000.
And is the whole idea then to eat small amounts throughout the day, as we often hear, or does it really matter how you consume the food as long as you stay within those parameters?
Exactly the latter. It doesn't, just like, it just, the only thing that matters is calories in, calories out. It doesn't matter when you eat those calories. That's another big myth about dieting. Your car doesn't care when you put fuel in your tank. It still gets the same miles per gallon. And the same is true for your body. It doesn't matter when you put the food in. You could eat all of your day's allotment of calories right before going to bed. It doesn't matter. But you do have to stay within your allotment of calories if you want to maintain your weight.
2,000, 2,500 calories or so. I mean, how many calories does a typical American consume in a day?
Well, unfortunately, quite a bit more than that, probably by 1,000 or 1,500, maybe even more than that. People, you know, that's why there's an epidemic of obesity, because the majority of Americans are now consuming more calories than they burn in a day, and therefore they're gaining weight, and obesity has become a true epidemic.
If you had to choose between a moderate and healthy diet versus regular exercise, and you had to have one or the other, which would you go with?
Well, it's actually easier to modify a reduction in calories through eating than it is to burn the calories through exercise. Exercise is really great for cardiovascular health and muscle tone, but it's surprisingly ineffective as a weight loss tool. You have to exercise an awful lot to lose a little bit of weight. So if it really caloric intake, monitoring your caloric intake from a purely standpoint of weight loss is more important than exercise, although exercise is very important for other reasons for health.
There's been a lot of talk about this, quote, fat gene that some people apparently are preconditioned to genetically be hungrier, in fact, much hungrier all the time. Do you believe that such a gene really exists?
No. The satiety meter that we all have is a complicated mechanism based on something much more complicated than a single gene. And in addition to that, yes, it's true that everyone has an individual threshold for when we feel sated and when we feel hungry. But the discrepancies between people are not so big as to explain the obesity that we see as an epidemic in the United States. It's basically people are eating more than they should, and that has a lot of, there are a lot of reasons that contribute to that, including eating too quickly so that you're continuing to eat past where your body would have told you to stop eating, but you ate right past it before it had time to catch up.
Now, you say popular diets like Herbal Magic, The Zone, South Beach, Atkins, and so on, that they're guaranteed to fail. So how does somebody go about pursuing a real change? Because the thing about a diet is it kind of sets a new circumstance. It gets somebody excited to try a new approach to eating. How do you do that without pursuing a diet, per se?
There are only three things. You can forget everything you've ever heard about dieting. Throw all the diet books out. Start with a very simple premise. You just have to eat well, eat less, and exercise. It's that combination that will do it. And then in order to do that, as you started this conversation out, you need to change your relationship with food in order to successfully do those three things. And none of that requires sacrifice or deprivation. It's not particularly difficult. If you have two pieces of bread in the morning, start off by having 1.5 pieces. Don't deprive yourself and don't do something which you can't sustain over periods of time. Go slow, be realistic, but just cut a little bit out every day, just a teeny little bit, so that you don't feel deprived. In terms of eating well, it's very easy. Just if you go to fast food every day, start missing a day. Start doing something else on that day other than fast food. We're not asking anyone to be saints or to be monks. We're just saying just eat a little bit less than you're eating now, eat a little bit better than you're eating now, and exercise just a teeny bit, and you'll be much better off than what you're doing right now.
Although, isn't the truth that fast food in general, especially fried fast food, is just bad for you and should be limited to maybe several times a year?
It's horrible for you, and you shouldn't eat it at all. It's absolutely the most horrible source of nutrition you can imagine. It's just fat and salt. and empty calories. But the fact is, if we recommended that people just stop eating fast food, no one's going to listen to us. We have to be realistic about what people are willing to do. And if you start off slow, and if you start off in doing things that people are actually willing to do, you can grab a hook onto that and then start them on the right path. You have to be realistic about what people will and won't do.
Well, it certainly is hard to stick with it. I'm guessing most attempts at changing diet only last for a certain amount of time. I mean, if you go for a year or so, are you kind of, is that a sign that you're probably going to stick with it?
Oh, I think so. And really, sticking with it is a problem because people become too ambitious and they get disappointed when they don't see results quickly. I mean, we do live in a society of instant gratification, for better and worse. And so if people don't see an immediate result and a dramatic result right away, they get discouraged. And that's just not the way this is going to work. You have to start off slow, you have to be realistic, and it's a long-term, lifelong commitment. And so, yeah, if you've gone a year and you're happy and comfortable, there's no reason why you won't go 2 years and then three.
Former White House senior analyst Dr. Jeff Schweitzer, co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction. Check it out. Thank you, Dr. Schweitzer, for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
And we will be right back.